welcome to Outside the Base, a podcast associated with Torah New York, presented by the Orthodox Union. My name is Rabbi David Pardo, and I'm really excited to be doing this. The idea here, we've been doing Torah New York, we're coming up on our third year, and we've presented speakers world class from across the globe, across the spectrum, and some really, really fantastic people, really special people, the kind you don't get to meet every day, and certainly not to get two dozen under one roof teaching Torah at one time. But I had this idea I thought would be interesting, that we know so many of these Rabbanim, Rabbaniot, scholars from their teaching, and we don't really know them so much from outside the base. And I thought it would be really a special opportunity to get to meet some of these people as people and their work outside of their teaching, specifically of their shiur, as they're going to present at Torah New York. So I'm really very humbled, really excited to get to speak with Rav Rimon. Rav Yosef Rimon is a prolific author, a profound scholar. He is the founder and chairman of the Halacha Education Center, which develops innovative educational curricula for Jewish studies using cutting-edge technologies. That's is available in Israel and all over the States and beyond. In 2015, he was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva of JCT of Machon Lev and the Rosh Beit Midrash over in Yerushalayim in Givah Mordechai. He is the Rav of Southern Alon Shvut. He is also the founder of Job Katif in response to the expulsion from Gush Katif, an organization that seeks to place Grushei Gush Katif with jobs so they can continue living their lives with dignity. He's done incredible works in the arenas of Torah, of Chesed, of Harvatzat Torah, of education. He's really an incredible person on every front. So it's very, very exciting to be able to speak with him, to get to know him better. I hope to see you at his shiur on September 22nd at Citi Field. Register at torahny.org. Without further ado,
we are on with Rav Yosef Rimon. It is such a pleasure, a delight to have you on the Torah New York podcast. So welcome, Rav Rimon. Thank you for being with us.
Besimcha. Nice to be with you.
So I'd like to just start out with a question that we ask everybody as we get to know you, understand your Torah and your public persona better. Who are your influences? Who made the greatest impact on your choices, on your career, on your call to public service?
Okay. So the first one is my grandfather that I never knew. I was born after he passed away, and I'm named after him, Yosef Tzvi Rimon. My grandfather was a very famous poet, and he was very close to Rav Kook in Israel. And every Shabbat, my father was reading us one of his poems on Shulchan Shabbat. And I think that this gave me a lot of chizuk, a lot of kesher to Torah, a lot of kesher also when things go exactly in your way, and also if they don't go in your way, to be connected to Hashem. And maybe this is first step. My parents. My father was Israeli. My mother was British. And my father served in the Haganah and was very connected in the beginning of the foundation of Medinat Israel. And from one hand, he didn't give me easy life. I mean, he told me, you have to do this, you have to do this. I had to do what... But from the other hand, all the time, he showed me how he loves and admires whatever I do. In Tel Aviv, I was living, if I was going to Elaine Torah when I was 14 years old in free shoes because they didn't have a lot of balei kriya, my father would go with me again and again, one, two, three times, and I would tell him, Abba, you heard me already, Laney. He said, what do you mean? I'm going to miss your Laney? And I think to give rules, but from the other end, to give chizuk all the time, it gave me a lot and a lot of koach to give speeches, to speak, to believe in yourself. I got from my father. And now I'm jumping. There were other rabbis on the way, Rav Aryeh Bina in Netiv Meir, and other rabbis, and Mori v'Ravi Arav Amital in Gush. But Arav Lichtenstein, that I was very close to him, the last 30 years, he passed away. I think every day I spoke to him. I was very close, and I learned from him for years. When I was Shiur Hey in Yeshiva, I think I was 22 years old, and I was sure that I'm going to be a doctor. My father was certain, 100%, that I'm going to be a doctor. And Mori v'Rabbi Rav Lichtenstein called me to his room and spoke for a quarter of an hour, how important is it to be a doctor. Refua ze mikzoa shel chesed, hu amar. This is chesed, so important. And I was so, wow, I said, wonderful that my Rav gives me a chizuk for refua, for medicine. But after a quarter of an hour, he said, aval, במקרה שלך, in your case, you have to stay in Torah, you have to stay in chinuch, this is your place. And took another year that I thought to go, not to go, to stay more. And in the end, I decided, this is the way. And thanks to him, I'm speaking to you right now.
That's an amazing story. It's very unexpected. I'd like to ask you, you're involved in so many different projects. And one of them I know is your focus on building curriculum and curricula. And I've already noticed when I visit different high schools, I mean, I picked up myself some of the Sfarim for Bishul B'Shabbat when I was sitting in the Gush. But I also noticed that now I see them in high schools, and I know that you're in a number of high schools and maybe beyond. I guess the question to you is why you got involved in the building of curriculum. What was missing? What did you think was missing? What's the goal of the curriculum that you've designed? And if you feel like you've seen the impact of the work that you set out to do yet.
Okay, so look, I believe the teaching Yahadut is the most exciting thing. And the most exciting of everything is maybe Halacha. But to teach Halacha, to teach Gemara, to teach Mishnah, to teach Torah, it's so exciting, so special. Hem chayenu ve'orech yameinu. And unfortunately, speaking to children, to teachers, I saw that it has maybe the lowest rating, very low rating, that people, the children don't like it. And when children don't like what they learn, sometimes it's half the way out. They don't enjoy Torah, they don't enjoy learning. Sometimes it will bring them to be not connected afterwards. And actually, years ago, I started with teaching 30 years ago, 25 years ago, kids. It was before I became a Ram in Gush, in Yeshiva. Teaching kids, Kita Zayin, Chet. I remember myself getting in a class that I got 6 hours to teach whatever I want to teach. It was above all learning. Tigbur Torani, Gita Zayin Banot. Around 12 years old, and the principal asked me, what do you want to teach? I told him, Halacha. He started joking. He started laughing. He said, what, is a joke? What do you mean? You teach 6 hours Halacha? I mean, they will be bored. I said, don't worry. I went in the shiur and I asked, someone here has an halachic question? So it took them time till they understood what is shelat halacha. Then they asked a question on kashrut, on shabbat, on sniut, and every time they asked a question, so instead of just giving the bottom line, I told them, okay, now let's see the sources. We'll see the Gemara, we'll see the Rishonim, we'll see the process still today. And like this, every shiur, I came to the shiur, do you have a question? I said, this question, that question. And I saw it touch them. I saw years afterwards that they enjoy halacha, they remember. And I said, I have to write in this system. I started writing books on Shemitah, Gadah Shel Pesach, you know, other, you know, Shabbat, and Birkat HaMazon, Zmirot Shabbat, other books. And I saw, if you write and you teach deeply, deep, but user friendly, everyone is engaged. Children like it. And then I decided to open, to try and help in Israel, in America, in other places. And I saw it works. I started 20 years ago by writing a book to Ramaz. Yeshiva Ramaz, Rav Luxin asked me, I wrote a book then. And then it was the beginning. And I saw it works. So I took a big team with 60 educators and rabbis. And today, according to this system, we write books in Israel, the Ministry of Education, most books today for Chinuch Mamlachti Dati, we are writing. And in the States, for high school, elementary schools, most modern Orthodox high schools are using our schools. And also more yeshivish, sometimes the rabbi use their books for themselves. They teach afterwards, but I know a lot of rabbis that come and ask me. And we have a team that works in South America, another team in Russia and France, another team that works with technology, very forward technology. And I want to give you one example. Most of my day, 80% of my day, I teach and learn Gemara. I give shiurim. I'm Rosh Yeshiva of Machon Lev, of JCT in Jerusalem. I have the students, I have Koilel, I give shiur, this is my world. But in the 20% time that I have, I dream all the time how to help children and youth to be connected to Torah, to Halacha, because this is our future. So I have other things of Chesed, started with Gush Katif and other things, but this is something that's very important for me. And I'll give you an example now in Israel. It's not just in Israel, but the main thing is in Israel. I thought to myself, what do we do with Mishnah? We want children to be connected to Mishnah. And Mori Rabbi Arav Lichtenstein thought once that it's better not to teach even Gemara, but to teach Mishnah. I think it's good to teach Gemara. It's important, but to be connected to Mishnah. And another thing, how to do it also in summertime, when they have Chofesh, the vacation in Israel, you have, in America you have camps. Yeah, they have 2 months Chofesh.
No camps. Chofesh.
2 months. There are parents that say, "Hachofesh, hagadol ve'anora." It's 2 months with the children at home. I like it. But vacation for the children. And we created a special system. How to teach Mishnah. We took a special team with Rav Fachler. We went, set together how to teach Mishnah in special system. It's called Komdat. Komdat in Hebrew. Koteret, title, Omer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Mikre, what is the case? Din, what is the din, the halacha, the rule? And tam, what is the reason? And we teach a child how to recognize by codes. If it's din, mikre, tam, and he can make a chart from a Mishnah that he never saw before. And he comes excited. He knows how to learn Mishnah. And we started special movies now. That the movie is like a real movie. But every movie is another Mishnah that without the Mishnah, you won't understand what's going on. They try to find the treasure or the other things. And how many children do you think are watching those videos every day? You know, they have better videos maybe in Hollywood. How many children are watching and learning Mishnah from those videos? Maybe you'd say a few hundred, a few thousand. Last year, when we started a few years ago, but last year was a big jump, every day of the summertime, 50,000 children were learning Mishnah with us in the movies. And today, 70,000 children. Every day, 70,000 children are learning Mishnah. And it's exciting. We have the ability to bring our children, the children have a very special soul. But they are confused. You know, today the internet, the Facebook, it's confusing all what's going on. if you have the system to teach them the right way, they'll be connected to Mishnah, to Gemara, to Halacha. And this all the time bothers me, and because of this, I'm working and with my team to help schools in Israel and all over the world to teach in a better way Yadut.
So well, let me ask, I totally understand the media angle and turning into a video that's entertaining and that we're just constantly consuming media all the time. But back to the Komdat and also the way that in which you built your the Haggadah and the Birkon and the Shemitah and the Bishul B'Shabbat, what is it that's capturing people that didn't exist before? Is it that they want to be able to decode it and understand what the component parts of, like, not to just hear that this is the din, this is the halakha, but to actually see the unfolding and to see that there are multiple pieces and that there's a tension in the halakha and this is how we resolve it? Or is it something else? They just want to know what the component parts are, or they want to see that it's more complicated and beautiful and mosaic? What's capturing people that they didn't have before?
So I'll explain a little. Usually, if you want to learn Lamdes, you will sit in yeshiva and learn Lamdes. If you want to learn the sources of all the things, you will sit and learn for Rabbanut, to be a rabbi, and then you learn all the sources. If you are, you have not this and not this, you want to learn Halacha or other things, you see the bottom line, maybe with a little more explanations and footnotes. People today are smart. Everyone can learn and can enjoy not just the bottom line, all the process, and also the lambdas to learn it deeply, but you have to write it user-friendly. To write, and this is what I'm trying all the time to do, from the sources, and also the lambdas, and also the halacha lemaiset, but to do it the most user-friendly that you can do, to write user-friendly, to add all the time, I add charts, that the charts allow you to understand in one view all the picture. And I think that when you write in a deep way and you add charts and you add other things that people can enjoy Torah, they are connected. It's also in Halacha, but also Haggadah Shel Pesach, that it's philosophic, but also this in the same way, but also Haggadah. I thought to myself, how can I inspire Leila Seder? I said, okay, I write philosophic things, but I write it user-friendliness, but what else? There are children there, there are young and adults, and and everyone is interested in another thing. What do you do? Then I said, the best way to involve them is by questions, by riddles. Everyone can answer in his level. So all the time I added questions, and then had answers for the questions and activities and other things. And Baruch Hashem, I know today that also Haredim and also modern Orthodox, also in Israel, also in the States, they say that Leila Seder changed thanks to this thing. And this is our goal all the time, to write deeply, to teach deep, but to do it in the language of the door, to do it user-friendly. And like this, people are connected because they have the ability to have the taste of the deepness of Yahadut.
That's amazing. I want to switch gears for a second. There's so much to talk about. I know that we know that you're involved in so many chesed organizations, that you've started so many different chesed organizations. I'm afraid to even list some of them because I'm sure there's ones I don't know about. I just learned today about the one for Ethiopians. I know about Jopkati for a long time. My question to you is, as a very significant Marbitz Torah, Israel, is A, how do you pick the causes? How do you choose the causes that motivate you, that cause you to jump in? And also, how do you balance, the separate question, you could pick either one, how do you balance your role as a significant Marbitz Torah and your involvement in different chassidim?
So, sometimes you don't choose the chesed chooses you. Gush Katif, when was this engagement, the rabbis came to me and said, oh, can you go to the hotels to see what's going on? I went there. I saw in a few days that the main problem was that they didn't work, that they lost their jobs. And because of this, I had the idea to start Job Katif. It's not that I fought from the beginning, but I think we need all the time to be sensitive to Am Yisrael, to the world. And when you are sensitive, you discover what Am Yisrael needs that you can help. After I succeeded with Gush Katif and Baruch Hashem, we brought them with all our team to the average of unemployment in Israel. We said, okay, I told my team, who else now? Who needs our help in the same system, not just to give money? It's also important. But we have a system. We created a system to allow a person to be on his own two feet, to succeed. Who is next? And I said, okay, Ethiopians, the third generation in Eretz Israel, and most of them are working cleaning or something like this. I want them to be academic. It was very complicated, but this was the mission because we had a system. Then I said, okay, all the time I get questions from soldiers. I wrote two books for the army soldiers. And actually in the last 2 years in the city field, in the OU, I gave shiurim on tzava, on army. This year it will be a little different. But I said, okay, there's so many soldiers from poor families. How do we help them? Not just by money, to help them that they'll work, that they'll have a future. So this system, we took it to help soldiers. Then we saw teenagers, wonderful teenagers, but they are teenagers in risk. And what do you do with them? So we created a special system by riding bicycles to give them, to bring them back to the derech. And it's unbelievable what's going on. We have a mechina that we started in the Bik'ah, also in this system to take children that are out all together with drugs and things and to give them, you know, you are dreaming, I'm dreaming, and we try to make our dream real. Those kids, they don't dream at all. We need to bring them to dream and to, but this is the system that I'm trying, all my things that I'm trying to do are to help people, not just, you know, is to give them money or other things, but to help them, not just to be independent, to dream and to help them to make their dream to be, to become real. And all the time, maybe it's sometimes seems a little crazy, but we're dreaming all the time. And when you dream, so say, okay, now I can help this, now I can help those people. Now, and also in Torah, it's the same idea, to help people to be touched to Torah, to be connected. And if you ask about the time, so this is a good question. A lot of people come to me and ask me your question. And tell them, look, if you want to be a busy, busy person, you should know what is important in your life. And the things that are important in your life, you know, this you don't give up. No, this is the main things that you're going to do. All the rest of the time, okay, you can try to do whatever you want to do. I know I have two things that are main things in my life. I have Torah and I have my family. And I know I have to close most of the day or night, doesn't matter now how, to learn Torah, to learn Torah, to teach Torah. This is my life. And I know that my children and my wife, I need to learn with my children. I need to be with them. Also, if I'll be very busy, they know whenever they need me, I'm with them. When you know how to close the things that are important in your life, now rest of the time, for me, it's around 20%. Okay, now go and dream and do other things. And look, I don't do everything together. When I tell you all those things together, it seems as if in one day I open, it's years. You know, I open one thing and I have a team and I help them. And after time when I see it's stable, I open another thing and another thing. So it's not that everything is together, but Yehudi, lo mafsfik afam lachlom, all the time cholem. Yehudi all the time needs to dream. And you need to dream how to learn more and how to do chesed more and how to teach other people Torah more. So every time we have another idea and another idea. But if you know how to focus on the main things, so then Bezrat Hashem, you can succeed also in all the others.
That's incredible. I know I told you 20 minutes. Can I ask you another question? I'm cheating?
Okay.
Okay. you can answer it quickly. If you think it's a quick question, you spend a lot of time in America teaching Torah and advocating for different causes. And you probably have some exposure to American Jews living in Israel out there in Alon Shvud. My question is, we have two significant centers, Jewish population centers in the world. What do American Jews have to learn from Israeli Jews? What do Israeli Jews have to learn from American Jews?
Okay. I'll say
simple question, short, simple question.
I'll say it briefly because I can speak a long time on it. I think American Jews, they know how to create a community. And sometimes in Israel, people can be very, you know, this one is to not be together, to create a community. I think Americans are good in it in the States because sometimes no community, you are lost. But when they come to Israel, in my community and Alon Shvut, I think the Americans helped me a lot that I can have a community. Not just people that come to shul, but a community. I think that there are a lot of things in American people that they can be in another world in America, but dream and help all the time Israel. You see people that help in APAC, that help in other things, and lots of Jews that I know in America are helping so many things that that we have here in Medinat Israel, that they help all the time and they dream, and it's very special to see someone that can be far away but all the time tries to help Am Israel here. From one hand, it's easier for me to give a speech in Hebrew, but from the other hand, it's easier to give in English. You know why? Because when I give a speech in English to American crowd, also if I have something, a joke that is קצת מצחיק, you know, a little, everyone is laughing all the time, you know, you can, like this, everyone is doing it, I like it, I enjoy it. Israelis takes more time, you need a very good joke.
אין להם חוש הומור, is that the idea? Israelis,
יש המון חוש הומור, יש המון חוש הומור, but Israelis, they need a real good, you know, real good joke.
Oh, they have like a very high standard for humor, but Americans will just take anything.
From the other hand, I think in Israel, first of all, in Israel, there's something called dugri. Dugri is to speak straight. You think something, say it. Sometimes, you know, you can speak with American and it can be very nice and you don't know what's going around. Israelis are more, you know exactly what he thinks of you. Too good or too bad. Now, sometimes it's maybe too much, but it's, I think it allows to a lot of good things. Also, when you can work together, you know what's going on and you can... second thing, I think Israelis, that they live in Medinat Israel, they live with Jewish together. From one end, you can say that Israelis have chutzpah. You know, they say... But I think Israelis, they have... a lot of confidence to think out of the box. I think that Israel is number three in the world in high tech and number one in the world in invention and number eight in medicine and other things. And now in the, with the moon, with the halalit, with some of those things is, the main thing, of course, is Siyata Dishmaya of Eretz Israel. But I think that to think out of the box and to go, to be all the time very creative, I think is something that you are more, you have chofesh, you feel that you can, there's something very special in Eretz Israel. And also, to be in Eretz Israel, to be in the process of redemption, of Geula, it's something special. I admire all the Jewish people in the States, that they have the koach, to stay in the States, although it's, you know, how can a Jewish person stay in the States and not come to Israel when he has the ability? But they are in a mission, they are in shlichut. So they stay in America because they want to help Am Israel from America. And for me, to be in Eretz Israel is, wow, to be a part of Geula, of redemption, to see in our eyes what's written in the Nevim, that we can't understand, we are in Eretz Israel, Medinat Israel, Tzava, everything that the Nevim told us, we see that becomes real in our eyes. So this is something special, and I hope that all the Jewish people in America, when time comes and they finish the mission, they'll come here, to Medinat Israel, to be with us together and to help us in Geula. And meanwhile, every one of us should get from the other a chizuk, and together we can be much better. I go a few times a year to the States, but when I go, I enjoy very much American Jews. I get a lot from them, and I enjoy speaking and hearing and teaching. And from one hand, I think there are a lot of good things in America, a lot of good. But from the other hand, you see what's going on now with Chas v'Chalila, Jewish people that in Israel, usually if they're out, they'll be non-religious. But in the States, it's more dangerous. You can be out of Am Yisrael. And it's frightening. So Bezrat Hashem, I hope that all the Jewish people in the United States will succeed with the children, with the family. Bezrat Hashem, and that they'll succeed with the chinuch of them. Bezrat Hashem, that all the children and grandchildren will marry just Jewish people, and that we'll see all of them leat leat in Medinat Israel, kibbutz galuyot, v'techezena einenu v'shuvcha letzion berachamim.
Amen, amen, amen. Last question on the program. Someone gets very inspired by this talk, and they say, my gosh, I'm going to spend another hour of my week, or maybe the first hour of my week, learning some Torah. What would you tell them to do in that hour?
Wow. Look, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. If someone says, I can learn Daf Yoimi, I will tell him, they'll learn Daf Yoimi. It's not 1 hour a week, it's 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
But if someone can learn 1 hour a day, take art scroll, take whatever you want. Because this gives you, you have every day to learn and to learn. If you have 1 hour a day, depends on your level. I would divide it between Torah, Halacha, and Gemara or Emunah, depends. If someone knows how to learn Gemara, I would tell him, learn half an hour Gemara and divide it up in half an hour for Halacha and for Tanakh, for Torah. If someone doesn't know how to learn Gemara, so maybe Emunah, but I think from one hand, we have to see how everyone learns the main thing that we need to learn in Yadut. But from the other hand, if he has 1 hour a week, I would try to find something that inspires him. Because if he won't be inspired, he would learn Azoi, so, you know, he won't continue learning. So everyone needs his taste, his something that will touch him. And I suppose his rabbis can give him advice. And if he wants to contact me, I can help him. Also, I gave just now a shiur for 200 principals in Israel. And they asked me, what do you do with tefillah? How do you bring children? So I gave them rules and things, but in the bottom line, I said, look, you know, also every school is different. Every school has his teenagers, children, needs his rules. So it's not one answer, but I think you should find something that touches you, that inspires you. And another thing that you think that is important, that you must know. So maybe divide it to two different things. One that it's that you enjoy and you like, and another thing that you feel that it's that every Jewish person must know. And because I understand it's before my lecture in the city field, so I'll just say that in the city field we are going to dream on the future, because what I'm going to speak in the city field this time won't be on soldiers, but will be how Shabbat will look in 10 years. To dream on the AI, artificial intelligence, and the smart houses and all the things, not like today. Everything exists today, but what will be in 10 years? What will be on with Shabbat in 10 years? Shabbat will be the same, will be different. What Jewish people will do with all the halacha when all the technology comes so run so quickly and the world changed. So we dream and we try together to see that Shabbat will be important in 10 years, much, much more that it's important today, but we have to see how to do it in the right way, that all the things of technology won't harm Shabbat. It will be exactly the opposite. Technology and Yadut help each other. They join together. It brings us to be better, but we need to do it in the right way. And Bezrat Hashem, on this we'll speak on the city field. Shetiyah atzlacha lekulam Bezrat Hashem.
Amen. Rabbi Moon, thank you. We're very excited to see you September 22nd at City Field in New York City.
תודה, תודה רבה, ולהתראות לכולם, שתהיה ברכת השם עליכם.
Amen. Thank you. Hold on, let me switch to speaker view. Just say, my name is Raviosa Tzvi Rimon, and I'm coming to Citi Field on September 22nd. I hope to see you there.
I'm coming to Citi Field when?
September 22nd.
September 22nd?
אני מקווה שכן.
Okay, 22nd. Okay, we'll try. Won't work, we'll do it again.
Okay.
Shalom, my name is Yosef Tzvi Rimon. I'm the Rosh Yeshiva of JCT Machon Lev and the Rabbi of South Alon Shvut. Bezrat Hashem, I'm coming from Israel to the city field in the 22nd of September, the Minyanam, and I hope to see you, to learn together, to be inspired together, להתראות.
יפה מאוד.